Okay, morning, everyone. Isn't that a fantastic morning? Wasn't that great worship? It's interesting that I love the new song we sang. I've forgotten what it was. Just behold Him, and that's actually a lot of what I'm preaching about. So that's quite cool. But the last one, Abide With Me. When I first became a Christian, I came from a totally non-Christian family, so I had no concept of anything Christian. But my mom had been a churchgoer and had left at the time that I was born, had stopped going to church. But she had a hymn book, a Methodist hymn book. And anyway, so I stole the Methodist hymn book from my mom because I thought, now I'm a Christian, you know, what do I do? Anyway, I opened up to the very first hymn and it was Abide With Me. And so I actually memorized and read that hymn and knew it off by heart before I knew the tune, because we had never sung it. So it's always had a special place with me, that hymn. All right. In the book Alice in Wonderland, sort of, we've been fun in that, so let's talk about some books that are fun. In the book Alice in Wonderland, the king is telling the white rabbit to read a letter that he's found, because at that stage, I think Alice is now a giant, and they're trying to banish her from the kingdom. And they found a letter, and they said, "Read the letter." So the rabbit says, "Well, where shall I read from?" And the king says these profound words: "Begin at the beginning, go on till you come to the end, then stop." So, even though they're profound words, do you know that is always a good thing to begin at the beginning? To start at the beginning. And so, you know that in the Bible, there are two places where it says in the beginning, talking about the beginning of all things. As a matter of fact, for all those who are going to correct me, there are other places where it says in the beginning, where it says in the beginning of the reign of King, da 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 da. So I'm not talking about those places. I'm talking about the place where it talks about in the beginning. There are two places. And so what I want to do now is I want to start by listening to a reading of those two places. The first being from Genesis 1. And it's going to be from Genesis 1, 1 to 19. It's going to be the first 4 days of creation. And the next is going to be from John, which is another place where it takes us back to the beginning. And it's John's interpretation of that chapter, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, where he introduces Jesus. So Joy is going to come up and read Genesis, and Amy Lee will come up and read from John.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what has happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day.
John 1, verses 1 to 18, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Amen. Now, it's interesting when we look at the story of creation that we can get caught up in a whole lot of things, isn't it? I mean, can I hold this? So we get caught up in a whole lot of things. And one of the things... I should take that with me. One of the things that we often get caught up in is, when did creation take place? You know, was it 6,000 years ago, or was it billions of years ago? And is these six literal days, are these days that actually, is it actually representative of a number of days? And we can get into long debates on this, and huge, and people have done whole series. You can do a whole series on it. And you know what you're actually doing a series on is what the Bible is not telling us. Because, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us the dates. It doesn't tell us exactly what happens. And we often miss out on what the Bible is actually saying. So I'm not going to discuss any of those debates, by the way. You'll be pleased to know, or whatever. But I'm going to look at what he is talking about and what he actually tells us in that passage. And one of the things that he covers, he starts off by saying, in the beginning, the world was formless and void. Tohu and bohu. That was with no shape and empty. Basically, shapeless and empty. And it's a picture of the sea. It says the Spirit moved on the waters, and the waters are like a vast expanse of nothing. You know, it's wild and free. And what God does, he takes something that is formless and empty, and he gives it shape, and he fills it. And then if you go through the first 3 days, you find he gives shape to a whole lot of things, to the day, to day and night, to sky and sea, to land and vegetation. And then on the next 3 days, he actually fills all those things. He fills the sky with, on the fourth day, he fills it with stars and the sun. On the fifth day, he fills the sea and the sky with birds and fish. And on the sixth day, he fills the land, which he made on the third day, with animals, and eventually the greatest part of his creation, man. But what was the thing that John now is writing about creation, what did he focus on? He focused on that right at the beginning, what did God say? What was the first thing that God said? Let there be light. And he actually then focuses on God as the light. And the first command, and as a matter of fact, that he then gives a definition to that light. He talks about that the spokesman who was speaking at that time, the one who said, "Let there be," was Jesus. But when he said, "Let there be light," the light was also Jesus. And he then talks about the fact that this light came to the earth and shone on the earth for people to see things, and people preferred the darkness. They actually wanted to go away from the light because the light actually exposed where they were and what they were doing and what was happening. And they preferred the darkness. And so he actually focuses on that aspect. But I don't know if you it's such a beautiful picture of that because the light does help us to see more clearly, doesn't it? Light does help us to see what is happening. So some years ago, I was went to a place called Kariba in Zimbabwe. I think I've mentioned it before. It's a wild place. It's a lovely big lake. And it's wild bush, full of wild animals, full of elephants, full of lions, full of buffalo. And we went and we got onto a houseboat. I was a teenager with so it was me and two of my school friends and my dad and his friend. We got onto a houseboat and we went across the lake to a place called Fothergill Island. And if you ever want to go on holiday, by the way, that's a beautiful place to go on holiday. They've got a lovely safari camp and all that there. But if you can ever get on a houseboat, it's also great. The houseboat, though, you park on the island and then you have to walk through the bush to get to the safari camp. And so we went to the safari camp, and whilst we were there, my dad and his friend decided that, of course, what do you do when you're at a safari camp is you sit and you have some beers. So they were having quite a few beers during the day, and it became night. So it's got dark in the camp, and we're still in the camp with these three friends and my dad and his friend. And we were being told stories about this herd of buffalo on the island, and that there was this one rogue buffalo that would actually hunt people down. He said, you know, people would go looking for it and this buffalo would circle around them and come behind them. And actually, you know, and as a matter of fact, in Zimbabwe, more people are probably killed by buffalo than just about any other animal. I think the only one that comes close to that is probably the hippo and that, but the buffalo is normally one of the most dangerous. And so we're now leaving the camp to walk back to our boat. My dad and his friend are a little bit tipsy. So me and my two school friends, we are brave, but we don't want to walk with the tipsy guys behind us. So we get a torch, and I'm holding the torch, and I'm shining the torch in front of me, and we're now walking down the path in the dark back to the boat. And we go along the road, and we come to the point of the road where we now have to go off the road and go through the bush to get down to the beach where our houseboat is actually moored. So I turn around, and we're now walking through the bush. And as I'm walking, so I'm shining a torch so we can all see the path that we're walking on. As I'm walking, the bush next to me just explodes. So anyway, I swing the torch around like this to shine to see what it is, and standing next to us is a buffalo. Anyway, I decided, I don't like that, so I switched the torch off. So hey, you're a teenager, you're not thinking totally clearly. Then one of us yelled, run. Now all of us, by the way, years later, all of us have denied that we were the one that yelled run. But one of us yelled run, and so we took off in three different directions. But my dad, even though he was tipsy, my dad and his friend, they were very much bush people. They know the bush. So they immediately said, everybody stop. And so we all stopped. And he says, now just come back to, and we all came back together. And he says, now just wait till your eyes get accustomed to the dog. He says, don't switch on the torch, because with the torch, all you can see is where the light of the torch is. You can see nothing else. But if you switch the light off, by the light of the moon, we could actually then start to make out shapes. And we then walked down to the path, and we'd see these sort of like boulders next to us, and we'd just avoided all the boulders. Anyway, we got down to the boat. Nothing else happened. We were very thankful. I was the only one that was a Christian in that whole group. So let me tell you, I was praying like mad. But anyway, we got down to the boat and it was okay. The next day as the sun rose, we got to see that whole place where we had walked was a whole herd of buffalo. We had actually walked right through the middle of a herd of buffalo. Let me tell you, if it had been daytime, we would have gone right around it. We would have avoided that whole problem. But in the dark, you can't see. You don't see the giants when they're coming. You know, and as a matter of fact, when you see them, you mistake them for something else. You're not sure what they are, because we could just see shapes. We couldn't see what they were. But in the daytime, we could now see what it is. Jesus is the light. He is, as a matter of fact, they talk about him being the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. You know, but he's also the Son of Righteousness, S-O-N. And he is the light. He brings the light for us to be able to see, so that we can actually see in the dark. We can actually see what is actually going on. And that we need to come into the light. The interesting thing is, with light though, is that it shines, but it also shines, it shows all your imperfections. And a lot of us are scared to come into the light because of what we will see with ourselves. I know some years ago, we were actually praying for a couple, and there was a guy whose boss at work was really treating him badly. And so the pastor's wife, who we were with at that point, she actually prayed, Lord, just bring everything into the light that we can actually see exactly what is happening so that it can be revealed. And as we were praying this, I suddenly got a dread that if we brought it all into the light, he might not be as innocent as we think he is. You know, it's not just the boss that would be exposed, but it might be the employee exposed as well. And that's the problem with bringing it to the light, isn't it? When you bring it into the light, we all bring it to the light. We're saying, well, I know Dave's doing a lot of terrible things. Let's drag him and bring him into the light, and then we can see exactly what he's doing. The problem is, if I'm standing in the light with him, you can all see exactly what I'm doing as well. So it actually exposes both the person and yourself. But you want to know that that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to bring it into the light so that we can actually be, if you want, exposed, but so that we can actually be a blessing to others. In the story we read, there's another story, Charles Dickens, Christmas Carol. We all know that story. And there's a guy in there, the famous guy Scrooge. He hates Christmas and all of this, and he had a partner. Do you remember what the partner's name was? Jacob Marley. It's funny, you probably remember that better than you remember scripture. You should actually think about that. But anyway, so Jacob Marley comes along as a ghost, and Jacob Marley then says to him in the story, he says, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it." And you want to know something? We are actually, a lot of the time, we think that we have freedom where we are, but in actual fact it's darkness. What is the freedom we think we have? We actually go to God and we say, we want to be free. We want to make our own decisions. I want to be able to decide what sex I am. I want to be able to decide who I am. I want to be able to decide what I should do. And God is actually saying, no, if you come to him, he wants to be able to tell you what those things are. And so there's this fight going on, isn't there? There's this fight of our will, where if you stay in darkness, you can then decide who you want to be. Because if you come into the light, by the way, there's no argument as to who you are. It's there. Everyone can see. You know. But if you stay in darkness, you can actually pretend it is something different. So you want to actually judge people from where you are in the darkness. God wants to bring us into the light. And in the light, though, what we find, if you bring yourself into the light, so the first thing we need to realize, Jesus is the light. The second thing we need to realize is we have to go into the light. If you want to know Jesus, you have to walk into the light. And you know what that means? That means you have to be vulnerable. That means you have to allow Jesus to see who you are. And you know the wonderful thing is, you know, in the bush, a lot of animals can see in the dark, and they can see in the dark as if it is daylight. And which means that, you know, you're trying to hide from them, but meanwhile, they can see exactly what you're doing because, you know, they can see you. God is even better than the animals. There is nothing you've done in the dark that he doesn't know all about. So when you're bringing something into the light to him, do you know that he already knows about it? Not only does he already know about it, he's already sent his son to die for it. He sent his son to actually cover it, to take care of it. So whatever issues you've got, whatever baggage you brought with you, you can bring it into the light. And Jesus still loves you. He loved you when you were in the dark, but he saw it in the dark. But if you bring it into the light, he can now do something with it. In the light, he can actually take it and place it on Jesus, place it on the cross with Jesus. And then he gives you something else. If you what Amy Lee was reading, you know, he then gives us a new sort of designation. We become a child of God. We become one of his children. We become righteous in his eyes. He looks at us and sees Christ. And that can only happen if we bring what we have to him in the light. And the next thing we need to do, once we've brought it into the light, once we've actually realized that he can cleanse us, we need to actually reflect that light to others. Now, it's interesting, going back to what Joy was reading in the thing, on day 4, he made the moon, the stars, and they were the lesser lights to rule the night. Now, I don't know if you know about the moon, but you know how much light the moon actually shines? Zero. It isn't a light. What it does, it reflects the sun. It reflects the sun at us. And that's the light that we actually see. So when we see a full moon, that means the moon is looking direct at the face of the sun and is able to reflect that fully on the earth. When you see a part moon, it actually means that the earth has actually come in between, if you want, the sun and the moon. The shadow of the earth is actually blocking us from seeing it. So the earth, if you want, is blocking us from seeing a full moon. Now, isn't that something you can take spiritual? You know, if you are looking on the Son of Righteousness, on Christ, if you're looking full on him, you can actually reflect that to others. But the more you allow the world to come between you and the sun, the less light that you can actually shine on other people. And the more you'll be doing it from the darkness. And unfortunately, we're a lot like the moon. Even when we're saved, when you're saved, even though you're a new creation in Christ, you're a new person in Christ, the problem you have is that you still end up going into the darkness. You still end up, you know, it's because we're still human, we still live in a fallen world, we still end up carrying all this thing with us. But you want to know that in Christ, He has covered that and made a way for that, so that all you need to do is to turn back to Him, as it says in 1 John, ask forgiveness, and you know you're going to get it. And to me, that is what a blessing that is. You know, I don't know, you know, I've done some things where I've actually hurt Jeanette and upset her. And so then I have to go through that groveling thing where I go up and I now have to ask for forgiveness. Do you know, it's a 50-50. As to, actually, it's not. She's normally very good. But, you know, it's not a guarantee, though, that she will forgive me. I could say something that has really hurt her, and she could say, I want to forgive you, but that's just too hard. You know, that is, and I know that because, you know, we're human. But you want to know that when you go to Christ, He will never say no. You can be guaranteed, if you go and ask forgiveness of Christ, He will forgive you. So long as, of course, you mean it, by the way. Because remember, He knows your heart as well. So it's not one of these where, oh, I just have to say the words. No, no, let me tell you, you've got to actually mean the forgiveness. But if you do, you're guaranteed for getting it. So we need to reflect the light to others. But you know, the problem with reflecting light to others is other people also want to stay in the dark. You know, so Arthur Conan Doyle, he wrote the book Sherlock Holmes, you know, the famous detective. He loved practical jokes. He was a guy that loved practical jokes. So he sent out a letter to 12 of his friends. And all he said on the letter, he didn't say who it was from him. It was anonymous. And all he put on the note was a telegram. It was a telegram. All he put on the note was, flee. All has been discovered. And he sent that to 12 of his friends. Within 24 hours, all 12 of them had left the country. So, now, what's interesting is, aren't we all in a position where we are actually waiting for us to be found out? Don't you often find that you're actually waiting for someone to finally realize you're a fraud? Well, I want to tell you something. You're a fraud. So it's and when you come to Christ, He lets you realize you're a fraud, and He still loves you. And He still makes a way for you. But that means that whatever you've got, whatever you've done, whatever baggage you're carrying, you can take it to Him in the light, and it has no power. Because once it's in the light, by the way, its power is gone. People can only hurt you with what you keep in the dark. If you bring it into the light, it now has no power on you. And as a matter of fact, not only does it have no power, what I've seen what God has done, God often takes that very thing that used to hurt you, you bring it into the light, and God can turn it into a ministry. God can turn it into something great. And you say, well, where have we seen that? And let me tell you, when Christ was killed, that's the worst thing man ever did. Man killed Christ from the dark because they killed God. I mean, can you believe? I mean, how worse a thing can anyone do than kill the person who is offering us life, offering us freedom, and we kill that person? That very event, God has now turned around and has become the greatest event in our lives. Because in that event, we now find forgiveness for ourselves. We now find freedom for ourselves. And we can actually come to God and be forgiven. So I don't know what you're actually dealing with or any of the things that you're actually going through. But you can bring them to God. You bring them into the light. Don't leave them in the darkness. Anything you keep in the darkness will become a giant. We're talking about giants and being defeated. Do you know that those giants become bigger in the dark? Have you ever noticed that when children, if they're in a room that's dark, they believe they're a giant under the bed. Any shadow becomes a disaster. But the same room in the daytime, it's not a problem. If you bring it into the light, there's no issues. So in this world, there is much darkness. But Jesus is the light. And we need to come to the light. No matter what darkness you have, Jesus' light can take it away and take away its power and its hold on you. You can then reflect that light to others. And you can, and when you reflect it to others, by the way, the one thing you'll realize, because you've had to go into the light and become and realize that you don't deserve to be there, do you know you will never look with anyone else with contempt? If someone hates you, you know they're hating you from the darkness. When you're in the light, you sort of realize, well, if I was on their boat, I'd probably hate me too. You know, it's a so you can actually understand where people are coming from and love them the way God loved us, even when we were in darkness. But you need to be in the light to do that. So we can look on others, not with hate or dread, but look on them with love and look on them with the eyes of Christ. We can truly pray for people to have the light of Jesus in them because we've seen what it's done for us. We can actually pray for others. So I don't know where you are today, but Jesus' light is always there. You need the light of Jesus to shine on you today. So I don't know where you are. Maybe as a Christian, if you're a Christian, maybe you've allowed yourself to go back into the shadows. This is an opportunity to come into the light. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to close in prayer. And just pray that that the light of Jesus can shine on all of us. If you're someone who has never accepted Jesus' light, if you've never had the light of Jesus shine in your life, then I pray that this is an opportunity for you to do that as well. That you can actually pray that prayer. Because you know that all you have to do to accept Jesus is you need to come and realize, I'm in darkness. I can do nothing to save myself. And turn to him in mercy and ask for his mercy. And he says, if you do that, he is willing to forgive you and give you his righteousness. And so let me just close in prayer now. And just pray for the light of Jesus to shine into your life and for you to be able to have that light reflect into the life of others. Should we pray? Father, I just want to thank you now that, Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are the one that is, that in you the darkness has no power. The kingdom of darkness has been defeated by you, Jesus. Thank you that we know that on the cross there was darkness covered the land, but then you cried, it is finished. And when you rose again, we know that you've actually brought us the light of real life, the real Son of Righteousness. And I just thank you, Jesus, and I forgive me, Jesus, for the times I've allowed the shadows of this world to come between me and you. Forgive me when I've looked at the giants in this world and actually seen them as a barrier to prevent me from coming to you, and knowing that if I can just bring them into your light, they have no power. They can be destroyed in your light. They're actually powerless in your light. And I just do that now, Lord, and place them all in front of you right now. And I pray that you help me to be like the full moon, Lord, reflecting the light of the sun onto the earth, reflecting the light of the sun onto others, that people can look at me and see you, Jesus, in me. And we just pray, Jesus, that you have all the glory. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.